Across the UK, across continental North America, and around the world on the internet, by webcast and by podcast, my name is Howard Hughes, and this is The Return of the Unexplained. Thank you for all of your emails. I'm going to do some shout-outs and address some of your issues in the next edition of The Unexplained. But do believe and do know that when you send me an email, I get to see it and I do act upon it. If you want to get in touch with me, send me a guest suggestion. Tell me how you think the show's going. Make some specific suggestions about the show. That's all good. Just go to the website designed by Adam from Creative Hotspot in Liverpool, theunexplained.tv, and follow the link from there. And if you would, vitally and crucially, like to make a donation to the show, that would be great, because, you know, it is very difficult to do something like this these days. And if you remember that a cup of coffee from a well-known purveyor of coffee in America, maybe $3.50, in the UK, certainly £2. If you donate that, or part of that, to The Unexplained, it would be a massive help. So I will leave that thought with you. And if you have donated recently, thank you very much indeed. We are an independent voice in an era that is becoming increasingly consolidated and increasingly corporate. And, you know, we've got to keep the faith out there. We've got to keep independent voices, whoever they might be, alive in this world. And at least we now have the technology to do that. So thank you very much if you have donated to the show, and you know why it's important. No shout-outs, I said. But before the guest, Sharon Daffner, on this edition, we'll be talking about chemtrails, geoengineering, weather modification, but a very different take on that. And you must give me your thoughts on this when you hear her. She was suggested by one of my listeners. Thank you for that. And before all of that, I just want to get to one email that I've been sent today. From Michael Murphy in Manteca, California, says, I thoroughly enjoyed the interview with James Burke. I've been a fan since the Connection series shown on PBS. Of course, it was a BBC show. I still have the book. He changed his outlook, says Michael, on history completely. From a list of random news events to a rich tapestry of interlinked and networked human minds, imaginations and processes expressed over time. The only thing that surprised me was that with all his experience and education, James Burke totally dismissed the UFO phenomenon. It's hard for me to comprehend somebody of this disciplined mind and scholarship would dismiss the monumental body of evidential and anecdotal research, testimony, and observational experience. At times like this, I am reminded of the reaction of Thomas Edison when given an opportunity to research the vacuum tube, or the valve as we tend to call it in the UK. He dismissed the whole idea as of little scientific or commercial value. Says Michael, I guess the point I'm trying to make that even the most brilliant of us have our blind spots, but I think he's a great guy still, and I will probably listen to the interview again. Michael, thank you for that. I think, and I don't want to speak for James here, because he can eloquently, more eloquently than me, speak for himself. I think this is to do with scientists, and James isn't a scientist, and neither am I. But people of science tend to only believe what they can see, what is provable, tangible, and repeatable. And with the best will in the world, the UFO phenomenon is a nebulous thing. There are people who have views on it. There are people who are convinced. But in terms of solid, hard, touchable, tangible evidence, it's rare. And that, I think, is why some scientists will not buy into any part of it. But, you know, like I say, that is a debate that will be ongoing. If you want my 2 cents worth, I have heard enough to believe that there probably is something out there. What it is the reason we do this show. It may be a manifestation of ourselves. It may be another dimension. It may well be beings from space. But until we're sure, we need to keep asking the questions, I think. Okay, to the guest now in the U.S., in California, up in the mountains, not far from Los Angeles, Sharon Daffner talks about chemtrails, geoengineering, and weather modification in a way that few people, I think, do. Let's see how this goes. Give me your thoughts on this edition. Let's get to Sharon Daffner now. Sharon, hi. Thank you very much for coming on The Unexplained.
You're welcome, and thank you so much for inviting me.
Now, before we talk, and before we talk about you and about the topics we're going to get into, you are one guest that I have to ask about your location. So talk to me about where you are. Let's just tell my listener that at the moment we have a dull, roughly 5 p.m. UK
here as I record this. That translates in California to 9 o'clock in the morning, so your day is just beginning. And what are you looking at where you are?
Well, we have beautiful blue skies. I live in the mountains a couple hours north of Los Angeles, and they actually tried spraying a few chemtrails this morning, which at this point I just find amusing because they completely break up. So I had that old sight of a couple of X's in the sky, which is something that we used to look at a few years ago. And now they just break up, and the weather is pretty cold up here in the mountains, but we'll be pretty warm today. And throughout Los Angeles, it's pretty hot right now. And in fact, they're engineering a heat wave upcoming in the next week.
All right. Now, yeah, we need to be getting into all of this because that's at the core of what we're saying. But just talk to me in generalities here. I have seen the weather where I live undoubtedly change. When I was a kid, winters were crispy cold, and it started at the back end of October. By November, you were into pretty shivery stuff. You probably got snow by Christmas time. Now, all bets are off. We don't really get weather like that anymore. And, you know, I wonder how much of that is natural cycles. I really find it hard to believe that it is, but maybe it is. There are people who tell me that it is. But I have seen tremendous changes in my lifetime in my little country. And I'm guessing that you've seen the same way you are.
Yeah, the weather has changed considerably. However, it seems to be normalizing again, and we'll probably talk more about why that's happening. But I have seen a lot of changes in the weather. It's been a little topsy-turvy, and I am very, very sure that it's being engineered because I have been observing patterns over the past few years and seeing very odd things on the satellite imagery. So yeah, definitely the weather has changed and it has been interfered with. And we are definitely told that it is us doing it, but I have reason to believe otherwise.
Mm. Tell me about you then. What is your background? You know, what brought you to doing the work that you do?
Well, I'm an artist and a musician. And I never was interested in science. And a few years ago, I started to become aware of the chemtrails because a friend of mine told me about it. So I looked up when he said they're spraying chemtrails, and I thought, well, isn't that just what planes do? Don't they just make those lines in the sky? And I overlooked it for some time. And then I started to have health impacts from it and started to put the pieces together because I'd spent a lot of time outdoors. And on certain days, I would feel very ill, lethargic. I'd like to jog. And there were some days where I'd go jogging and come home and just collapse, which wasn't really characteristic considering I was in good shape and running several miles a day. So I started to wonder what was going on.
Well, and mind you, you're not a long way from, you're not a whole lot of way from Los Angeles. And, you know, when I was in California, I've only been there once and I loved it. But I do remember driving towards Los Angeles and seeing this disgusting tea-colored brown haze over the city. And presumably, even though you don't live there, that stuff has got to drift somewhere.
Well, I did live there until a year and a half ago. I grew up there and I spent most of my life in Los Angeles. And the smog when I was growing up in the 80s was horrendous, and in the 90s. And I have learned in recent years that what we call smog, that dark brown you see, is actually deadly ozone radiation or electrosmog influencing the pollution in the atmosphere. So not only do you have particulate pollution coming from all the cars, but you've got so much electricity and nowadays wireless technologies that create an atmosphere that really holds it in.
I mean, it sounds like a horrible soup or an awful cocktail, but talk to me about this ozone radiation that you're talking about. I've never heard of this before now. So what is that you're telling me about?
Well, ozone energy is the life force energy. And when I refer to DOR or deadly ozone radiation, that refers to its opposite, which is the immobilized life force. These are the energies that Wilhelm Reich discovered back in the 30s. And he was starting to work with them throughout the 40s and 50s, starting to work with ozone in order to neutralize deadly radiations. So we're looking at a dualistic world, and everything is indeed energy. So everything on Earth is influenced by either life force energy or deadly energy. And what we're trying to do with our work is increase life force to negate the deadly energies. And what we have in cities like Los Angeles is a lot of DOR. So that's why we go into city environments and do our best to clean that up. So that does influence the air pollution a lot.
Don't you just need to be making sure that people are not driving vehicles that filth up the air and people are not burning stuff in their gardens and all of those things that when you've got millions of people, look, I live very close to London, so I know all about this. When you've got millions of people living close together, your living conditions are not as good as they would be if you were out in the country. Isn't that the problem?
Yeah. Well, that's part of it. And ideally, people would be driving less and using public transportation more. And in Los Angeles, this is a big problem because people seem unwilling to take the train and the bus. And when I lived there, most of my transportation was public and was biking. And I found it very beneficial in so many ways. And not having to sit in the traffic, being able to read while I traveled. But most people in LA, they just refuse to do it. And it's kind of just ingrained in the culture. It's a car culture. So it would be a very difficult thing to get people in LA to stop driving as much as they do. I wish they would, though.
Well, I wish they would, too. And I wish the public transport there would improve because I'm too scared to drive in Los Angeles, I have to say. I will have to.
It's terrible.
I'm going to have to do it one of these days. But, you know, I was lucky enough to have somebody else drive me. And she was American, so she knew it better than I would ever know it. But some of those coming from San Diego and La Jolla, which I loved, and then driving north towards Los Angeles to get back to the airport, to get back to LAX, was the most horrendously, especially if you're doing that at one of the peak times, and this was evening drive time. It's just horrendously frightening. And I have to say, when you're talking about air quality, the closer we got to LA and the nearer we got to the airport, and I don't think it was just me panicking about the amount of traffic and the perceived danger that that we were in, I felt myself getting wheezy. I really did feel the air was beginning to get to me.
Yes, it isn't very healthy, although we have been working on cleaning it up. Years ago, I felt ill a lot of the time, and it was attributed to the smog. I mean, those were the days when I felt worst. It is actually getting considerably better. People still look at LA as a terribly smoggy city, but I remember what it looked like in the 80s and 90s. And when you were up in the hills back then and looked down, it was a brown blanket. Mm. But nowadays, it is significantly cleaner. I could see the mountains on most days, whereas when I was a child, I could rarely see them. So we have seen a considerable cleanup in air quality. It's encouraging.
So if it's getting better, why are you campaigning?
Well, I'm not campaigning. I never campaign, actually. I do energy work, and we use our tools, our energy tools, to clean the atmosphere. So I teach what I do, but I don't ever force it on anyone. I just do the work along with Gabriel, and we distribute orgone energy devices that neutralize sources of deadly radiation and allow the air to clean. Hmm. We use the Earth's natural mechanism. The Earth wants to clean the air, so we use its own natural energetic mechanism to help it clean. The reason it can't do it on its own is it's been so compromised. And the biggest thing we need to be aware of is electromagnetic pollution. It's very overlooked, but it completely influences the weather and air pollution. So we want to clean all that up.
Okay. I think we have to get one thing cleared up first, because my listeners will definitely point it out to me and I will be getting the emails. They're probably starting to write them now. Are you selling stuff then? Is this all about marketing stuff to people?
No, it's actually not about marketing. I do sell stuff, but I also have videos on my site on how to make your own. So I encourage people to make their own orgonite. So if you go to my website, thekembo.com, and go to the orgonite section and scroll down to the videos, you can see a how-to video and make your own orgonite and see what it does. And anyone can make it. So you can buy it from us if you don't want to make it, but you absolutely can make your own and see remarkable results.
And what scientific evidence is there of that?
Well, this is first researched by Wilhelm Reich. In the 1940s and 50s, he was working with the orgone energy, which is the cosmic life force. It's what ancient cultures called chi or prana. And he was the first scientist to actually measure it in a laboratory and to observe it as a bluish light in these special rooms where he could observe the bioluminescence of these particles called bions. So he was able to observe orgone energy, life force energy, and measure it. And he started to work with it by using an orgone accumulator, which was a box that people would sit in a little room made with alternating layers of organic and inorganic material. And by layering these, he found that draw this orgone energy, which was present in the atmosphere, and concentrate it in an area. This is the big reason that the FDA came down on him. And he was working with it experimentally, and his patients found great relief, actually.
What's the difference between this? And I want to talk more about chemtrails and the climate and that sort of thing. But what is the difference between this and biofeedback? I've had a session on a biofeedback device, and I have to say, whether it was mind over matter, whatever it was, I came out feeling a lot better. This sounds an awful lot like biofeedback.
I've heard of biofeedback, but I'm not that familiar with it. However, I'm aware that it's energy healing. Is that right?
It is. It's to do with your energy, and I think you're getting back some of your own inversely. I think that's how it works. But I felt helped, but maybe I just felt helped because I wanted to be helped.
It sounds familiar because orgone energy is our own natural energy that we already have in our bodies. It's just been compromised, and it's often in a contracted state because of outside influences. It could be contracted because of emotional problems, stress, wireless frequencies bombarding the body, or bad food. There's so many reasons that your own life force energy can be contracted. So it sounds similar because what the orgone energy treatments do is they help increase your own life force energy. All right. It's like an energetic supplement for your body.
Okay. And what, as far as you know, because you're involved in this, is there any orthodox scientific research being done on this? Are any of the big universities trying to see if there's anything in this work?
No, the universities don't want to touch this topic. And it's interesting because one of my favorite books on the topic is The Science of Rain by Dwayne Gardner, who you may know as Organite Austin on YouTube. And he hasn't been around much lately, but he did a lot of work a couple of years ago. And he says to this day, you are not going to learn this in a university, but he explains the science of orgone energy and how we can use it to make rain. And he's one of my biggest influences, and I've learned a lot from him and taken that work to the next level here in California using the knowledge he provided.
Of course, and I'm not trying to knock what you do at all and what you've researched, but, you know, the people have to be very careful because, you know, a lot of stuff is out there that provably cannot work. There was a big media hoo-ha about psychic surgery. It appears in the press from time to time, and, you know, various people going, spending thousands of dollars in South America, going to see various people who claim to dig into their flesh and remove whatever ails them. And of course, they were using pig's blood and offal, and there was no basis in it whatsoever. So people have to be careful, don't they, when they enter anything alternative, and certainly shouldn't, I would say, and I think not only from a point of view of legality, but common sense, they shouldn't ever, you know, ditch the orthodox medical advice.
Well, yes, I don't go for psychic healing myself. That doesn't really appeal to me. I try to do natural remedies when I can, and if I can't, if something's just going terribly wrong, I go to the doctor.
All right, let's talk less now about the cures and more about the causes as you see them. Chemtrails. A lot of people want me to talk on here about chemtrails. There are very few people, I think, who can talk about this authoritatively, although it is a cause for concern. You only have to read, you know, various newspapers, magazines and stuff. People talk about chemtrails, but I think a lot of the people who talk about them don't entirely know what they are and what the difference between chemtrails in the sky and what is left behind by a jet plane going about its business. What the difference between those two things is?
I think that most people don't know what the difference between them is. And the way that I can see the difference is that a chemtrail will linger longer and will stretch across the sky rather than dissipating quickly. A contrail will not linger. So that's the best way you can tell that material is being put up there. However, a lot of what we see even in the chemtrails is water vapor. So we must keep in mind that the intense fear that we feel about chemtrails is unfounded, because a lot of what you're seeing is water vapor and can be cleaned and is being cleaned by the Earth's natural process. So once we learn what a chemtrail looks like when it's sticking and when it's cleaning, helps alleviate a lot of the fear.
And what do you think they are being put there for, and by whom are they being put there?
Well, that's a huge question, because there may be more than one who, and there also may be more than one why. But the well-documented reason for chemtrails is weather modification, and the main purpose for that would be to control who gets water and when, and to control crops and food production. So on a very basic level, we can look at it very mechanistically as a way to control resources. There's way more than that, though.
You've had some abnormal weather over the last couple of years in California. Do you think that this phenomena is tied to that phenomena?
Well, the rain is tied to Oregon energy, and that is a good thing. We desperately need rain, and now that the drought has been broken and officially been broken, we are relieved. But a lot of the drought problem was caused by the geoengineering, not just the chemtrails themselves, but the action of geoengineering, which includes chemtrails. I could talk more about how that works, but the primary problem in California was drought, and geoengineering's main objective is to prevent rainfall.
And it's the government that's doing this.
I do not think that it is mostly the government doing this. I think it's something beyond the government and above the government. However, the government does have capabilities in weather modification, and this has been documented, and they have used it. So the government is doing weather modification on one level. Private contractors are also involved. So you can even look them up. You can look them up, and if you have the money, you can hire them to do cloud seeding. The government has been involved in geoengineering. There's no doubt that they're experimenting with that, but I also have seen great evidence that this is a multidimensional program that is above the government.
A multidimensional program.
That is coming from off-world. And I'm not the only one that noticed this. Wilhelm Reich discovered this back in the 50s and documented it in his book, Contact with Space, where he observed the geoengineering and the rain suppression in the deserts of Arizona. And he did see crafts related to it. And when he brought this up with the Air Force, they sent him a questionnaire. And this questionnaire was quite detailed, and the Air Force already seemed to know pretty well what kind of things were up there. And the questions were almost multiple choice, like, did the flying saucer stay still? Did it blink? Did it move this way and that? So there's something going on up there, which is above top secret.
That's quite specific questioning, isn't it? If you ask, did the flying saucer do this? You're assuming, as the questioner, that there was one. That kind of implies maybe that you know something.
Well, yes, if the Air Force had such detailed questions, that does make you think, what do they know? And there's also a lot of evidence for that in that way that they treated him after this all happened. By 1957, he was put in jail, and he was mysteriously died in jail. I believe he was killed, and all of his books were burned by the FDA. So you do have to wonder what they did know. And if you read the book Contact with Space, which you can really only get through the Wilhelm Reich Museum as a Xerox copy. The originals, there's so few of them that you would have to spend $3,000 on eBay for one. But if you get a copy of it, you can read the questionnaire and you can see just how detailed it was and how much the Air Force already knew.
So is what you've just said to me that, dating back a very long time, there is a possibility that something that we might call extraterrestrial, you called it off-world, was putting these things into our skies for reasons that in the main they know and we don't?
Well, the reason they have been doing it is because our planet has been oppressed by an off-world source for a long time. And we're talking about eons. And Wilhelm Reich thought that it was about 25,000 years that the deserts had been created artificially, that our world was being harmed, and that, in fact, the lifeblood of our planet and us was being sucked off by some entities from another world. I know that sounds kind of outlandish, and I used to really just think about geoengineering as a government program, and I just kept it pretty much on this world. But the more I look into it and the more that I photograph the craft and plane that are doing it and zoom in on them, I see such oddities. A lot of this I've posted on my blog, which is thekembo.tumblr.com, but I've seen such oddities and holographic imagery up there that I start to realize that there's something going on that I don't think humans are capable of, especially on the scale that it's happening. And the government silence on it to me, doesn't just say they're keeping it secret. It also may say they don't know or they can't tell us.
And of course, if it got out that they don't know, imagine the fear that would cause amongst ordinary people.
Oh, yes. People want to think the government is their friend and they want to think they're taken care of.
Yeah, yeah. I was always struck when I went to New York for the first and the second anniversary of 9/11, and I would go around doing what they call vox pops, talking to people in the street about how do you feel now about your safety. And there was a very touching feeling that the government was keeping them safe. Almost everybody, I think I only came across one person in one run of interviews on the street who said they didn't think so. And everybody said, no, I am convinced that our government has us safe now. I don't think you would find that level of assuredness over here. I think people are a little less trusting and a little more cynical here about mm-hmm. those things. So that's the possibility, you think, that it is something beyond this planet. I didn't quite get the reason why, though. Something to do with some kind of war going on to do with us? Is that correct?
It is. Yes, it is a war on humanity. And you know, when people say that there's a war against humanity and that they talk about beings called archons and stuff like that, they are referring to the interplanetary war that Wilhelm Reich discovered. And it's a very slow war. When they say slow kill, all of these terms that you hear a lot regarding vaccines and GMO foods and all of these poisons, fluoride in the water, there's something really insidious. And it's not just humans hurting humans. In general, humans don't want to hurt each other. I mean, we want to be cooperative. We're a cooperative species. And there is something that has been attacking us for a long time and actually influencing us to do the wrong things, too. So, yes, I am seeing that there is something going on, and it's on an etheric level, a higher dimensional level, that most humans can't detect. So most humans will just go about their lives. They'll just eat fast food. They'll just commute to work, talk on their cell phones, text, and go on Facebook and watch TV. And they'll never be aware of it because they're living in a lower dimensional reality. But for those of us who start to remove poisons from our lives and become healthy, our eyes open up and we start to see higher dimensional capabilities in ourselves. For example, if you have a psychic experience, you know, like something very odd happens where you and a friend maybe call each other at the same time, that's an indication of the collective consciousness, you know, interacting. So there's something higher dimensional going on, and there are some beings out there that really want to suppress that ability in humans because they gain from it. They benefit. We're, in fact, their cattle. They view us as very low. They view us as lowly animals. And so the thing is, we need to start to clear up that poison and realize our higher dimensional capabilities. And that actually eliminates the fear because they have ruled this planet invisibly, and they've done it through keeping us in the dark about our nature, our power, and who we are.
Who have ruled our planet invisibly?
Well, we don't know them. They are extra dimensional entities, and they have been bombarding this planet with deadly energy, and they've been suppressing humanity for a long time. And we really don't know them. We don't know who they are. Some people talk about them. They call them archons sometimes, and or reptilians. I mean, you may have heard these because people on your show talk about these types of topics.
Yeah. But David Icke certainly has in his time, yeah.
Yeah. So, and that's where I first heard this concept was from David Icke. Mm. But what the problem is for a lot of people is when they do hear about these things, it becomes a fear mechanism. And we want to eliminate the fear. So yes, there are things going on. Christians will say they are demons. Everybody has a different way of saying it, but there's something not right out there. And maybe I'm going too far off this earth. We could bring it back down to earth and we can just refer to it as deadly energy.
You know, I would have more misgivings about what you're saying had you not said to me that you had seen things in the sky that appeared to be anomalous and you'd taken pictures of them. I just think we need to talk a little bit more about that. What have you seen and what do your pictures show?
One of the strangest things that I've seen up there is a see-through plane. And I got a picture of this actually at the event Contact in the Desert in Joshua Tree, which
there.
Is a big... And I live pretty near there, so it was really nice experience to get to go out there. I've done it a couple times, and we were actually vending there. We had our Organite there for sale, and we were in the amphitheater so we could listen to all the talks. And one of the strangest things I saw was there. It was an airplane flying low and silently, and you could see right through it. All you could see was white wings. And I have a picture of it on the blog. I would have to find the exact address of it. People will have to sort through, or actually I have a quick link to it on my website in the Organite section. If you go to the best of the blog, you'll see it.
And you're sure it wasn't a microlight or a drone?
I know, I thought about those things. And if you look at the picture, you can make your own determination of what you think it is, but you could literally see through it. Its body wasn't there. It was just blue sky through the center of the plane. That was one of the strangest things I've seen. I've also had a close encounter with an unexplainable craft while gifting Organite along the 5 freeway at night in Central California. And it was the most odd thing I've ever seen. And it happened right after I threw. And they don't like it when you're throwing these devices that clean the energy. They have set it up that our planet should be filled with deadly energy, which is part of what keeps us down in a low state of consciousness. So right after I tossed my second piece and into the environment there, something started to come up behind us in the field, and I thought it was a helicopter. There was one single light, and it was moving along the field, and I looked over to the side, and it was, there was no lane over there, so it was off of the road, and it came up next to the car, same speed as the car. It looked like a helicopter, but it didn't make a sound. It was black, shiny, and round with a white, shiny bottom, and the windows were tinted, so I couldn't see what it was. And it flew next to the car for a few seconds, and we're talking about, you know, a car lengths away. It was very close, but it was nighttime, and I couldn't see who was in there. And it just veered off suddenly at a sharp 90-degree angle, just veered off and flew like lightning over the field and disappeared.
And what did you feel like after that?
A little freaked out for a moment. I didn't know what it was. I thought it was the government just spying on us to see what was going on because we just threw Organite. But it was a very odd technology. Maybe it was government. Maybe it was off-world. I've never seen anything like it. I wrote it off as a helicopter for a moment, and then I talked about it with Gabriel, who was driving, and he said, no helicopter could fly like that, which is true. We currently live by a helipad, and they're not agile like that. So it definitely wasn't a helicopter.
So you think something somewhere was maybe aware of you and what you're doing?
Absolutely.
You talk about Organite and its cleansing ability, or its ability to fight these negative forces. And you say that it's a life energy. To a lot of people, it's going to sound like kryptonite, you know, and that is a fiction. To a lot of people, it's going to sound as big a fiction as kryptonite.
I know it is. And, you know, that's okay. Because what we do is we distribute it in the environment, and we've done it by the thousands at this point. So even if someone doesn't believe that it would work, it doesn't really matter because we're still doing it and they're still benefiting.
And what is it, though? What's it made of?
It doesn't require people to understand.
What is it made of? Do you make it? Is it something you create?
Yes, we make it, and anyone can make it. It's made with a polyester resin and fine metal shavings, quartz crystals, and a copper coil, which is optional, but we like it. And Dwayne Gardner refers to it as increasing the electromomentum. So we include a copper coil, which is repelling negative ions.
So it's an electromagnet. It's effectively an electromagnet.
Well, it is an energy device. It's a free energy device. So once you put the ingredients together, it's perpetually producing orgone, which is something that we are perpetually producing as well. And you're putting together elements that already contain orgone. But what you're doing is you're taking a quartz crystal, which has piezoelectric properties. And when it's compressed upon by a catalyzing resin, that increases the natural energy of the quartz. This is how quartz works in our electronic devices as well. That's why they include it in the electronics. And when we put the metal shavings in there, that helps to amplify that effect. And in fact, they also have a piezoelectric charge. They're also crystalline. So you're putting together these metals and crystals in a polyester resin. It compresses on it, and it is a generator of orgone energy. And the way that we use it is to neutralize electromagnetic fields. And we're talking about invisible energy, so I expect most people probably wouldn't understand and wouldn't care about it. And that doesn't bother me at all.
Well, look, on the positive side, and I'm sorry, there's a slight delay between us, so it sounds like I'm constantly interrupting you, but I think we know where we're going with this. On the positive side, look, we're human beings and we are largely composed of water. We are enormously affected by electromagnetism, the tides, the push and pull of the tides. We are as affected as the oceans and seas. So I can understand it from that level. But equally, in my hand at the moment, I am holding a flint spear tip that I bought in South Africa and had been found lying on a plane there and is allegedly extremely old. And I was told this thing, if I bought it and brought it home, would probably bring me some good fortune. So I keep it here, partly because it looks nice and partly because, hey, if there's any chance that it will bring me some good fortune, what the heck is what I say. So, you know, there are two ways of looking at all of this. There will be people who think this is almost talismanic in the way that it works, and people who say, yeah, it's electromagnetic. We're all based on that. So it's probably doing something on a level we don't quite yet understand. No, I think it splits both ways here.
Well, it's interesting that you put it that way, because Wilhelm Reich was talking about reconciling the mystical with the mechanistic. Mm. And orgone energy is very mystified, in fact, and this would actually infuriate him if he was alive today, because people completely attribute the cleaning of the sky to mystical beings that are attracted by the orgonite, which I don't buy into at all. I'm very interested in the science of how orgonite works. And mechanistic thinking has no room for orgone energy at all, because mechanistic models of nature are simply that. They're models. And mechanistic science only works within a model. It doesn't work with nature itself, which is so variable. So he was talking about reconciling the mystical and the mechanistic into a model called functionalism. And that's where I work from. I'm very interested in the science of how it actually cleans the atmosphere, which is through creating a vortex of energy, in fact, called a scalar wave vortex.
Now, that I've heard of. The scalar wave technology is something that scientists do know about.
Yes, because in science today, they call orgone energy scalar energy. That's the physics term for it. Orgone is almost a taboo term at this point, and Ken Rolla prefers the term scalar energy. He's an electrical engineer that I've talked with many times about this, and he's extremely knowledgeable. He's one of my greatest teachers. And actually, if you want to check him out, it's freshandalive.com. He sells all kinds of supplements to clean toxins out of the body.
This is partly the slight worry that I've got about all of this, because you're selling stuff and he's selling stuff. You know, there are lots of people selling stuff out there.
Understand.
It does
we
concern
all have to
and
make
worry
a living.
Me. And yeah, we have to make a living.
Yes.
But, you know, there are.
But he also,
you must have
like
heard the,
me,
the.
He also teaches.
Right? He also teaches. Hmm? He teaches.
Well, he teaches how to make it like I do. So we also say, hey, you don't have to buy it from us. Make your own. We encourage people to make their own. I sell it because I've got to make a living and continue gifting. Most of the orgonite is gifted. We have distributed into the environment 5,000 tower busters. And that's an approximation. But over the last 3.5 years, we have distributed 5,000 tower busters, which is the small tactical devices. Mm-hmm. We've distributed them throughout the entire state of California, Oregon, and part of Nevada, including a major job we did in Las Vegas a couple of months ago. So a lot of what we do is charitable. So when people buy it from us, they do help us to continue that effort.
And why are you distributing them like this, Sharon? Why are you doing that?
This is the object of our work. It is to clean up deadly energies everywhere. We did this in order to end the drought in California, and it took about 3.5 years. And in doing so, every time we did it, we saw increased rainfall. In fact, we'd see torrential rains right after doing the work. So what we do is, the reason for drought, people really attribute it to chemtrails, but the reason for drought is mostly due to the deadly energies. It's the radiation that comes off of cell phone towers. And you'll often see cell phone towers and chemtrails in the same pictures, and people do understand there's a connection. When you have this deadly radiation, it's EMF, electromagnetic fields, they help the chemtrails to stick, and they block moisture, because these fields are positively ionizing, and positive ionization inhibits the hydrogen bonding of water molecules. So when we neutralize a cell tower by placing organite by it, it changes that field. It restructures the electromagnetic field to be more coherent, less chaotic, and it negates the positively ionizing energy, and thus it negatively ionizes the atmosphere. And when you have a negative charge, the hydrogen bonds can form between water molecules and humidity can turn into clouds. This is the mechanism that's been suppressed through geoengineering, is the hydrogen bond. So we have seen time after time where we distribute them into the environment. Immediately the sky cleans, and there's a certain process it takes, which is the process of transmutation. And the cleanup is a beautiful sight to see. Will in the end result will either be blue skies or rain, depending on what was natural for that day.
And you're sure that's not just coincidence?
Well, you know, we've done it in so many locations, and I've documented it for 3.5 years of distribution. So at this point, if I've seen the same results in deserts, mountains, by the ocean, in cities, and everywhere we've gone, it seems to be pretty consistent at this point. And I have thousands of photos of it, as well as satellite imagery I've collected, changes in weather forecasts. There's a variety of things that we've used to see it, and it's so consistent that I'm actually writing a book right now, which explains Oregon Energy, the work of Wilhelm Reich, and there's going to be a whole section, which is the field work. So people will be able to see, right now you can see it on my blog and you can see it on my website, but soon it will be compiled into a book and you can see the exact same thing in one location to the next and in a variety of climates.
But you're fighting a losing battle, aren't you, in some ways, because there are chemtrails being put up there, you say, and some of this is off-world inspired, and we are not helping ourselves by our own use of pollutants of various kinds, chemical and otherwise, and of course electromagnetic radiation that I worry about enormously, because we don't seem to be understanding that the higher we get up the frequency spectrum with cell phones, for example, we're now into 5G technology here in the UK. They're just starting to test that out. You know, these things have consequences. So it's a confluence of things that you say you're dealing with. Aren't you only ever going to be a flea bite in a battle to stop all of this?
It would seem that way. And that's how they want you to think. They want us to think that we are all so little and insignificant. In actuality, our potential is huge. And Oregon Energy releases the creative potential of everyone. And if you are concerned about electromagnetic radiation, I encourage everyone to ditch the cell phone, ditch the Wi-Fi. Boy. And I know, as hard as that sounds, yeah, I do, because these are poisons. And yes, it sometimes gets very discouraging. Definitely, I get discouraged when I look at people walking around like zombies with their cell phones. It's easy to be discouraged, but this is why we distribute Oregonite. It's a contribution we make. And maybe it's a small contribution, but I would have to say it's larger than you think. And the implications are wide-reaching. I have seen such a change. In fact, I was watching the BBC series Planet Earth 2 the other night, and I had already watched Planet Earth 1. And what a difference I've seen in the last 10 years worldwide in the skies. I was amazed at the increase of life force energy. And some of the places that they were shooting had uncommonly high amounts of rain. And in Africa especially was very notable. And there is somebody in Africa named George Richel who has a group called Organize Africa, and that's Oregonize, like Oregon Energy. They've distributed about 25,000 pieces of Oregonite in Africa. And I could really see the changes. Every sky was what I call an Oregonite sky. Throughout the entire Planet Earth series, I watched every one of them and I was amazed. What beauty in the sky worldwide. So I would have to say that we might be small or seem small, but the difference we can make is huge when we apply ourselves.
But if you talk to people around Gauteng, around Johannesburg, South Africa, which is the Highveld, it's you know, it's like a high plain area. It's not on the coast. It's well inland. They have a tremendous problem with lack of rain there. They have not been. They haven't noticed a change. They've noticed a change for the worse, I think.
Well, I haven't been keeping up with the news for South Africa, but I would be curious to hear what George Ritchell would have to say about that, because I've noticed here in the news in Los Angeles and California that they tend to dwell on drought. In fact, this is an interesting predictive programming thing I saw on planet Earth. When the seasons would turn dry, David Attenborough would say, he didn't say the dry season, he would say the drought. He called summer the drought consistently. And that's predictive programming, because we're looking at natural seasonal changes a lot of the time, and now it's referred to as drought. Here in California, it never rains in the summer, but they call it drought when it doesn't rain now. And another thing is, they've been not reporting properly rainfall totals or temperatures. And this is not just me noticing this. This has been going on for a long time. Wilhelm Reich noticed it too, that they would help to facilitate rain in the desert and it would rain, and the Weather Service wouldn't report on it even when he notified them. So there's definitely something in the media that wants to promote the idea of drought, because again, as energetic beings, we're manifesting the world around us. So when we have a thought in our mind, it manifests in a quantum field. And if you've got a whole bunch of people thinking the world's getting hotter, it's drier, it helps to manifest that. I know that sounds crazy, but it's true, because we are the energetic beings that create our own reality.
Boy, what can you do with this work in future then? How do you develop it? Where do you take it?
Well, we just keep distributing it and taking it to new places and seeing the great changes. We've seen an unbelievable increase in rainfall in the U.S. West through this work. The other thing that's very important is the teaching. So I go around and I do workshops. So I teach other people what it does and they can make their own. And it's hard to do a workshop where you teach how to make organite, because the resin can be a little noxious and it's sticky and messy. But if you just give people the basic tools, they can start to make their own. But another huge part of this puzzle is I teach about the electromagnetic radiation problems. We don't want to just neutralize it with organite. It does neutralize it, but it's not good enough. We need to eliminate it. So I encourage people, and I teach them about the dangers of EMF, and I encourage people to ditch the devices that are harming them. We have to remember that back in the 90s, we managed to meet our friends without cell phones. We called them up on the landline, made a time to meet, and somehow we both appeared in the same place. So there's a way to live without cell phones or with minimal usage.
Well, now you really are fighting a losing battle, though, aren't you, Sharon? You know, you're never going to reverse
that. It seems
that
way sometimes.
Well, I think all the time, because you know, you look at the proliferation of devices now. We just had the release of the iPhone 8 and the 10.
Yes.
These things are getting faster. They're getting more available.
Yeah.
They're getting cheaper. So there is no way that you will turn that tide back. You might as well. Have you heard of King Canute here in the UK? He was the king who stood on the seafront and tried to turn back the sea. He thought that he was so important he could order the sea to retreat. And of course, it came and got him.
Well, I'm not trying to tell anybody what to do. I'm letting them know the dangers. And, you know, you'd be surprised. Some people are actually responding to it. It's not most people, but anyone who does can increase their consciousness tremendously by eliminating these life-negating frequencies. So yes, I totally understand what you're saying, and it is frustrating sometimes. When it comes to 5G, I did a little episode about this on our YouTube channel, which is The Human Frequency, to sort of alleviate people's fear on that, because the 5G is something that you can keep out of your house for the most part. It's short range, so if you don't bring it in through getting a 5G modem, because right now it's just in the internet phase. It's in the pre-5G phases right now. If you don't encourage it into your own home, you could create at least a sanctuary in your environment. So yes, you're out on the street and you're dealing with it, but when you're in your own environment, you don't have to bring it in. You could stay with the old technology.
But I've got a cell phone tower that is almost visible from where I'm recording this. You know, it's a nice location that I'm in, but cell phones have to be here, and they've put a little tower up here. That's going to go 5G. That's going to be 5G cell phone technology, and those are like microwave oven frequencies. And although I'm within a brick building.
Now.
Yeah, I'm within a brick building.
Well, so is what it is now. The bricks are great. The bricks help you a lot, actually. They block a lot of it. The buildings actually block a lot of the radiation. The 4G that you've got right now is horrible for you, let me tell you. They're going to turn it to 5G, but what you're dealing with right now is already horrible. what you can do is you can put a tower buster there. I can send you one. You could put it by the tower or even just in your office.
Well,
because
maybe,
if you're within a quarter mile of it.
Maybe, Sharon, we could do an experiment then and I could try this thing out and tell
try
you.
It out.
Because I, you know, look, I'm Mr. Technology. I have to be. So I depend on my cell phone. I've got a couple of them. I depend on broadband internet. I couldn't do this without it. So I reluctantly, I've been dragged. I mean, for God's sake, I'm even looking at a clock now that is synchronized to be absolutely correct by radio waves. So, you know, it's all about radio and it's all about frequencies around me.
Well, you can be technologically advanced without Wi-Fi. I live in a remote location now, so we don't have the best infrastructure, but I do everything hardwired, the office, the living room, anywhere we need internet in this house, we go hardwired with an Ethernet cable out of a router that's non-Wi-Fi. So it is possible.
And how do you feel?
You can use it just when you have to.
And can you quantify the difference that it makes to you? Say, for example, you have to go away on business or you go away on holiday and you stay in a place that has all of those things that you have shunned. How different do you feel?
Yeah. Oh, I don't feel as well, but I take Organite with me. I have a special, very powerful pyramid that I've made, which is my own piece that I take with me wherever I go. And I take a little melatonin to help me sleep because it's hard to sleep with the Wi-Fis. The Organite and the melatonin helps me. And I carry a cell phone when I travel because you need it for emergencies. However, it's off most of the time. So I turn it on when needed. You wouldn't believe how low of a plan I have on that thing. It's just the necessity. And when I'm back here at the ranch, you know, I'm using my landline.
Okay.
Corded landline, mind you. Everything's got cords.
Well, I like that. And I actually think the quality of what you get is better. Definitely in terms of broadband internet. We know that if you've got a wired connection with Ethernet, it's better for transferring data. Now, in the last 5-10 minutes of what we're doing here, I need to be very clear and we need to pull focus. We need to zero in on what you are saying. You've told me about the chemtrails. You've said that some of this is being caused by some kind of off-world inspired conflict to do with us. But we're not helping ourselves also by the chemicals that we use and by the electromagnetic radiation that we put out there. It's a great mishmash, but we've left hanging in the air, quite literally, this celestial battle over us. And what are we to do about that if it exists?
We have to strengthen ourselves right now. We have to understand that we've been lied to. And we have to start to wake up and remove the poisons from our lives. We need to heal our bodies, stop taking in fluoride and GMO food, start to research this stuff, learn what you're doing to yourself. And we need to stop allowing ourselves to be bombarded with dangerous frequencies. We take the poison voluntarily. We bring these devices into our lives voluntarily. The best thing we can do is to increase our own health. And when we increase our health, our awareness increases. And one of the difficult parts is once you start to get into this world of planetary healing and healing your own body, you may start to have emotional breakdowns. You may have these inexplicable conflicts in your mind. And this is all part of the psychic warfare that's been going on. There's been a major psyop against the entire human race so that we think that we are powerless and insignificant and that we think we're just part of the rat race.
And who's doing that? Who's behind that?
That is definitely what they call, well, people call it the elite, but there's something much above that. I recommend watching They Live, the John Carpenter film. It is actually a documentary. If you want to know what's really going on, I highly recommend They Live. There is something above the humans. And this is all actually revealed in that film. Hollywood reveals everything piece by piece. You just got to look for the clues. So we just need to wake up. And, you know, whether or not you believe there's an off-world force doing this, just stop taking the poison, increase your consciousness, and you'll see your life improve.
We were all terribly concerned and very much empathetic with the people of the Caribbean and the parts of the U.S., including Florida, that were affected by the recent run of hurricanes, including Irma. When you saw those reports, what did you think? Did you think that this ties into what you're working with in some way?
Yes, it absolutely does. A lot of the catastrophic weather is engineered. I believe it's almost all engineered. And I think that the Earth is actually very hospitable naturally. So it does tie into the work because through the distribution of Organite and Orgone Energy devices, of which there were actually many in Florida, that is what reduces these effects. And that hurricane reduced in size and reduced in size. And I was watching it reduce and reduce as it approached the coast. And so, yes, they still had the big winds, but it wasn't as catastrophic as they thought it
would
be.
Well, it was pretty damn bad in places like Miami, because I was listening to the radio from there, and people were very, very concerned, and the effects of it were quite horrendous. So perhaps if you believe that this stuff works, then maybe there should have been some more of it down there.
Yeah, there needs to be more of it everywhere. And that's just the work that takes a long time to do. I mean, we just have to keep on plugging away at it. And more people are getting involved. And I'm getting regular messages from people who have started doing it in their cities, because we can't be everywhere. And in fact, even on Tumblr, where I have my blog, where we record the Weather War, new bloggers have come up who are distributing Oregonite and sharing the results. So it is just something that's going to take time. It's not overnight. And yes, I am aware that there was some pretty horrific damage down there. Fortunately, it was reduced from what it would have been. But yes, we definitely need more Oregonite and more orgone energy devices. And there are others too, which you can learn about on my website.
It's very left field though, isn't it? A lot of people are going to find this very hard to take in. I know I'm going to get emails. You're probably going to get emails after this too, saying, you know, we have a phrase here in the UK, where do you get off in saying this? You know, what on earth are you saying is the kind of thing that people will be coming back at you with?
Absolutely.
They will say that it's unsubstantiated science and drivel is what some people, I'm sure, would say.
Well, they may say that, but I have been documenting it daily for 3.5 years, and that's all on the blog, and that's going to be in my book. And according to the American Meteorological Society, who did a public talk, I heard a public talk from them online, where they were talking about negative ionization technology for weather, which is very similar to what we do. They said it would take 10 years to prove it, but at the same time, there's no real proof because weather is so variable. So there are people working on these technologies all over the place, and it is hard to prove, but I have done my best to collect the evidence and put it all out there. So I'm not just doing it and talking, but you can look at what happened.
And of course, you're different from the people who say governments are doing all of this, or big business is playing with the weather because they want to make crops grow in certain places and crops not grow in other places. That isn't entirely what you're saying. Yours is a much broader approach to the whole thing.
It is broader. However, I do say that those things are happening too. I just think that there's a lot more going on the large scale. It's a terraforming operation. And on a smaller scale, it is about controlling resources. So there's no doubt that there are human beings doing weather modification, because you can see it online and you can look up the companies. I just know that there's something beyond it on the larger scale. And that is what has caused desertification, which is actually an injury on the earth. Deserts are not natural to the earth. This was Wilhelm Reich's great discovery as well. The deserts are artificial. So we have to look at it from what are humans doing, but what are things that are beyond human, and what can we only deal with energetically because it's so above 3D technology.
And in the meantime, the great expanses of ice in our world are fracturing. Large icebergs are floating off. Sea levels are rising all over the place. The frequency of storms is increasing. We've been a bit worried about the jet stream and the Gulf Stream here in the UK and in Europe. Things continue to change. That is something that is undeniable. How are you going to track that? And what are you going to be telling people about it?
Actually, I track the jet stream specifically with satellite imagery, and we do our work specifically to normalize jet streams, in fact. And as for warming effects, well, I am not going to say for sure that the Earth is getting warmer. I'm not going to say it's getting cooler. I'm going to say that what I do know is from the work with Oregonite is that orgone energy brings down temperatures and it removes particulate pollution from the atmosphere. So if you're worried about a blanket of particulate pollution holding in heat, orgone energy is the solution to that. And free energy is how we are going to deal with all these problems.
Okay. You used the phrase free energy earlier in this conversation. When you say free energy, now the devices that you've been describing sound to me like shields in a way. They sound like electromagnetic shielding, not creators of energy.
Well, a shield would be a Faraday cage. So if you want to actually shield electromagnetic radiation, you would use a Faraday cage around the object that is producing
right.
it. The Oregonite restructures. It's a generator of orgone, which restructures the energy.
And so as you said, it's modifying these things. Yeah,
it changes. So it's actually not a shield, and it doesn't block. It restructures and makes less harmful.
Okay. All right. Well, look, you said that you know, I could try one of these things out. I would be happy to try an experiment and see if I can negate the effects of some of the technology. I have to say that on a very basic level, and I'm not alone, I sleep in a bed and have a digital radio set with internet radio capability by my side, so I can listen to American radio here in the UK. You know, it's a very inexpensive technology these days, and loads of people have it. I'm charging my cell phone by my bedside when I go to bed at night, so there's a little blue light there all the time. Plus, of course, I live not very far from a railway, and I've got aircraft going to Heathrow Airport over the top of me, so if anybody needed help, I probably do.
Well, I would recommend turning off that phone when you sleep and turning off that internet radio when you sleep. That would be the first thing I would say, is turn those things off and get yourself an old-fashioned alarm clock to wake up in the morning. And I'll send you some Organite.
Well, even if the things that we've been talking about are hotly debatable, and even if scientists would say it's all garbage, I don't think any naysayer could deny the fact that having all of this stuff around you affects the way that you feel. That is fact. People do know that. And that is something that we need to be dealing with. And that's on a micro level. So if you extend that, and that's your research, into a macro level to everything, then there's a lot to be researched. And there's a lot that we don't know. So anybody who's asking questions about the stuff that you're saying maybe needs to just think about those not very well joined together words that I've just said. What do you say?
I think that's a great idea, and I think that we do need to look at what we've got in our own lives and just start to clean it up a little bit. I mean, just clean it up. You don't feel good when you have a cell phone. Try turning it off and see how you feel. People have trouble sleeping now. That's one of the biggest epidemics, and Orgone Energy has helped me tremendously with that problem. I mean, my sleep situation is quite different from most people's. I sleep in a Faraday cage, so.
Do you?
I'm pretty energetically, yes, I'm very energetically sensitive. So it's an EMF canopy, and it's helped me tremendously. But for just everyone else who's living with a cell phone and a Wi-Fi, I used to have a cell phone next to my bed and a Wi-Fi next to my bed, and I woke up every hour and wondered why. Mm-hmm. So I got rid of those things, and the sleep got a lot better. Organite made it even better, and it totally transformed the city neighborhood I lived in at the time, and I felt like I was on a mountaintop. It was suddenly quiet in the middle of Hollywood. It helps everybody around you.
You're evangelizing this stuff for the people in the area that you live and those who see your website. It is a monumental thing that you have to do, though, isn't it, to get people aware of this and to get people to believe it for a start off?
Oh, yeah. I don't really mind if they don't believe it. I provide the information, and if literally a dozen people in the entire United States distributed Organite, what a difference it would make.
And when you say distributed, for those people who think you're talking about selling distribution, that's not what you're saying. You're talking about leaving it around the place. Are there any laws about that, by the way? If you go around leaving, you know, packages of this stuff or however it comes, probably like looks like a little pyramid, a piece of rock, are you not contravening some laws about littering the place?
Yeah, I suppose littering would be the only law they could get you on. What's funny to me is when people say it's littering and then there's a big cell tower there and they think, oh, that's just fine. As if that's not damaging the landscape at all.
I don't know whether that would stand up against Judge Judy, but that's a whole other story for another time. Well, listen, thank you very much. I'm sorry that at times I've had to be a little hard with the questioning. I hate doing that, but you know, I know that it is the kind of thing that will elicit a response from my listener. And I know that some people are going to absolutely love what you say. I mean, I love the stuff that you're saying about cell phones and electromagnetic radiation, because you know, I'm no scientist. I can't give you chapter and verse on how it's affecting me, but I know it is on a gut level. So I can absolutely chime with you there. It will elicit various responses, I'm sure. So bring it on wherever you are in the world. And if people want to contact you after hearing this, where do they go online?
They can go to my website, thechembow.com. That's CHEMBOW.com.
Okay, and why is it called, I wondered this when I looked at it, why is it called Kembo?
Well, I was inspired by the chemical rainbows that I'd see in the sky during the chemtrailing.
Got it. I completely get it. Thank you very much for speaking with me, and have a lovely California day. I am very jealous of your sunshine.
Thank you, Howard. I enjoyed being on the show.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Sharon Daffner, I'll put a link to her and her work on my website, theunexplained.tv. Thank you very much for being part of this. Please keep your guest suggestions and emails coming, and if you can make a donation to the show, please do. And thank you if you have recently, very much indeed. You can go to the website, theunexplained.tv, and that's where you can follow links and send me an email about the show, suggestions for guests, whatever, or make a donation to it. We have more great guests in the pipeline coming soon here, right the way through, well, October as it will be, and into November and up to the end of this year. Some great guests coming. So thank you for keeping the faith with me and what I do. I hope that everything is okay in your world. If you're in the Southern Hemisphere, lucky you, you're going into spring. I've seen pictures from places like Perth, Western Australia, where it looks very nice now. Of course, if you're in California, then the sun always shines, doesn't it? Here in the UK, we're moving towards winter time, which I don't even want to think about. Anyway, until next we meet here on The Unexplained, my name is Howard Hughes. I am in London, and please stay safe, stay calm, and above all, please stay in touch. Thank you very much. Take care. Bye-bye.